Hello. Welcome to another episode of Diary of a Professional. This is Ashley.
Lou here.
And we have Dikeibra Gaskin with us today, who's a registered dietitian and a lactation consultant. And before we get into all that she does, let's talk about what we're grateful for this week. And I'll start.
Cool.
I am grateful for just the simplicity of weather. Let's talk about how today is nice outside in New York. And you know how it gets when it just hits a little warmer. People don't know how to act. I'm telling you, like, the music is blasting.
Mr. Softy, I heard him.
Yep, Mr. Softy's out. The girls are in their shorts and their little skirts. It was like as if, like, it wasn't cold last week.
Right.
It was like, that never happened. It may be possibly cold tomorrow. Who knows? I didn't check the weather. But today...
You're not going to worry about that.
Today was a summer day. And I'm grateful for that. I was grateful for the nice weather.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I'm on that wavelength, too. I am thankful for a nice stretch of, like, 4 days off. Mm-hmm. My kids have one of the days off, so I don't have to wake up early. Mm. You know, they got along today. And they got along without being loud. Because sometimes it could be the same thing. They're either fighting and they're loud, or they're, you know, getting along and causing a ruckus. And they were just, they were problem solving today. I said,
I heard that.
I got my points. I got my mom points today. I'm going to ride the wave, like the weather. I'm going to just see how long and how far we can take this.
Maybe it's like the double digits, like really now settling in.
Something, girl. Maybe it's the good weather, because you know that that vitamin D starts hitting you and you're like, why am I angry? The sun is out. Like, what are we mad at? So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tell us.
All right. Well, I'm grateful for so many things. Mm-hmm. I definitely am grateful. I will agree with you with the good weather. In Tallahassee, we go through a period of time where all of the flowers open all at once because we're like an arbor city. So we have azaleas, crepe myrtles, and for a good 2 weeks, the city is covered in yellow pollen and everyone's sneezing. So we had some rain, then we had some cool weather, and now it's like high 60s, low 70s. So we have pretty much perfect weather, and it's really nice. So I'm grateful for that, because my kids' allergies, oh my gosh, it is a rough month. So we're past it and I'm happy. So I'm grateful for that.
I hear that.
Allergies is happening. It's happening.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, let's just get into our topic.
Yes.
Like we were mentioning, you are a registered dietitian, a lactation consultant, and I just want to ask you, tell us a little bit about your specialty as a lactation consultant.
So as a lactation consultant, so most of my training I got through WIC. I did that for 15 years. I did take the CLC certification many, many moons ago, but then I had a preemie, so I wasn't able to like renew it because it was due when I had her. So I kind of moved into administration, and then my path kind of circled back into lactation. So I got the certification in 2021. I don't do that with my main job as a clinical dietitian. I do lactation consultant services in my private practice, compassionate care, nutrition and lactation services. So, and I love it. I work with wonderful families here. I actually have a client that I work with virtually in your state. So I get to work with so many moms from all around the country.
Got it. So working with moms, can you tell us, you know, there obviously are benefits of breast milk. Can you tell us those and like the different stages of breast milk, you know, whether it's colostrum, hind milk, fore milk, get into it.
Okay, so the benefits of breast milk, well-researched. There's all of the things it does to help support growth. So you have your calories, you know, fats, carbs, proteins, but there's actually like tens of thousands of other, you know, protective properties like growth factors, vitamins and minerals, immunoglobulins. There's actually a very digestible form of iron that you can only find in human milk that nursing babies have access to. And then obviously with the colostrum, which is that first milk, it's really, really rich. It's very gold in color, which comes from carotenoids, which you guys hear this word carrot or carotene in it. And we know that that's a type of vitamin A that supports the baby's vision, skin, and growth as well. It's also known as like a cancer fighter, believe it or not. So that's your first milk, and you have colostrum for like that first, you know, 6 or 7 days. Then you move to what we call transitional milk, which starts to get white in color. It then, you have that, the baby drinks that until about day 14. Then you have, mature milk. High milk and four milk. High milk is just the milk that, let's start with four milk. So four milk is like the milk the baby drinks first at the beginning of the feed. High milk is the milk towards the end of the feed. Believe it or not, there's not a whole lot of difference. I think that's a myth about four milk in particular. Four milk was thought to be something that was kind of like watery, nutrient deficient, but we learned that that's not the case. You actually can have quite a bit of like fat and nutrients in the four milk. It really just depends on the length of time between feeds, how long the milk has been staying in the breast. Has the milk been efficiently removed from the breast? Babies who are kind of like removing milk very efficiently, you never really empty the breast. So, but as close as you can get to really, really draining the breast, that kind of influences how much fat is in the four milk versus the high milk. So.
Yeah, because I always hear like, oh, but this kind of milk is better and this one is better. So I'm happy you kind of debunked that kind of myth, you know?
Yeah.
So with that being said too, as well, as women, they, society make us feel like, oh, we know how to breastfeed. It's just in us. It's innate. We just pop the baby on and we just, voila, we are doing it. But it can be tricky and it can be overwhelming. I mean, you're literally just went through such an experience of giving birth. The baby, you're tired. The baby's tired. We're all overwhelmed. So I'm just wondering, what are some simple tricks that mothers can have for just even latching on and even latching off? Because sometimes that can be a little process too as well.
Right. So to address the first thing you said, breastfeeding definitely is not like innate or instinctual for many, many moms. I would dare to say over half moms. It's said to be more innate for the baby itself, but they don't know anything. They literally just landed on Earth. They don't know anything. So I think the best thing to do, families really should be preparing for breastfeeding if that is their feeding choice, even before they conceive. Ideally before they conceive, when you discover you're pregnant, it should be something you're learning about. You know, it's very rare, even though it happens, that someone, you know, wakes up one morning, realize they're pregnant, and then they have a baby. It's happened, but it's rare. So when you have your baby, definitely, when you're pregnant, definitely learn about it. The easiest thing you can do is do skin to skin with your baby. The things that are innate to the baby is just like smelling the mom. They can kind of start to zero in on the areola, which is darker. It becomes darker during pregnancy. Those are innate things. Suckling is innate. it doesn't necessarily mean it's going to be an efficient suckle to transfer milk, but just that skin to skin, frequent breastfeeding. The more you do it, the more your baby gets used to it, the more mom gets used to it. She'll be able to kind of read her baby's cues. Believe it or not, her partner, her partner can actually learn a lot about that too. Like when the partners do skin to skin, they actually can kind of pick up on the baby's feeding cues versus a different kind of cue. But the more you do it, moms, that dyad, we call the mother baby, they begin to kind of do this dance, like they know. So baby's jumping down towards the breast, mom is supporting that position, not doing a whole lot of intervention, but getting the baby up to the breast, making sure, you know, she knows what a good latch looks like. When you know what a good latch looks like, when you've been kind of reading and studying up on it, you know immediately if it's something that's not right. If you have no clue about what's going on or what to expect, if something's going wrong, you tend to not realize it until damage has occurred or you have some drop in milk supply. So frequent nursing at the breast, lots of skin to skin, listening for drinking, and then definitely getting help as soon as possible. Those are the simple tricks that I tell people.
That is literally just today. I was watching something on IG and this mom was like, she kind of knew her baby was crying and wanting milk while she was in the shower just because her letdown was happening. And she felt like, you know, she just had this feeling the baby was with the dad. And she was like, was she crying? And she was like, yeah, how'd you know? And she was looking for breath. And it's just like,
there it is.
That innate part, and just the fact that you were saying how, you know, the nipple gets darker and maybe it's to help guide the baby.
Yep.
I love that.
I love it.
You know, but for, as you were saying, you know, in when you had a preemie and for other, you know, women who experience that, what tips do you have for moms who might have coordination or sucking issues with their child? And or breathing issues even.
Yeah. So it depends on the age of the preemie. If they're very, very early, like, you know, your 1 pounders, your 2 pounders, you know, they were born and they need a lot of respiratory support. What she should be doing is pumping within the first like 4 to 6 hours of delivering the baby. Mm-hmm. And that starts the process. There should be a lactation consultant available to help that mom learn how to pump, understand, you know, she needs to be removing milk every, you know, 2 to 3 hours. I always throw in something about hydration and eating. We want to get her eating as soon as she's medically able, especially if she had a surgery like a cesarean. And just getting that milk flowing very frequently. Also, there's a lot of research now with hand expression. We know that moms who pair hand expression along with pumping actually are able to kind of get their bodies to respond and get really, really, really good milk production and that increase that you like to see within the first few weeks to provide that milk for baby. For preemies that are a little bit more respiratory stable, like sometimes you're 29, 30 weekers, if they can do skin to skin, it's the same thing. For late term preemies who can begin drinking, lots of skin to skin, have a lactation consultant there to help that baby with suckling and being able to nurse and position. Now, your very small early babies eventually, you know, they grow, they get bigger, and they do become safe enough to go ahead and start drinking from the breast. But they need a little bit of help. So, for example, with myself, my daughter was a 23-weeker, and she was born 1 pound. But when she was able to start nursing, I had lactation consultants in the NICU. I had a speech language pathologist. I had a unicorn who was a, occupational therapist, and she was a CLC. So she was very special and rare, and they got me nursing. They helped me keep my milk supply up. That girl breastfed for over 3 years. So I think we were pretty successful, but we had a lot of help. I felt like I had a team. So people tell me, oh, that was so great. You were able to do that. I was like, I did not do it alone. I had a lot of specialists because she did have some oral motor difficulty. So, and we found that out when she was attempting to drink from a bottle, which was difficult. So all of that is related. So getting that help and getting the right kind of help can help, mm-hmm. you know, very early preemies be very successful with breastfeeding. And I've seen that. I saw that a lot before I even had my own children. So I knew it's possible.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Wow. I guess in a way, it's like you have to really search for or shop for that hospital you want to give birth or wherever, birthing center, wherever, because mm-hmm. not all of those kind of resources are available to mom. So it's like, absolutely. I think it's crucial to like shop for that hospital where you'll get that resources.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
I agree, because I heard mine came to see me when I had my kids, never saw her, had to figure it out. I definitely had some issues. And when I asked for, you know, oh, she wasn't available. There was none available after a certain hour. And, you know, it definitely affects. I was thankfully able to breastfeed up until 3 months or whatever. And I got mastitis. So that was the whole thing.
Yeah.
But it wasn't easy. Like, I didn't know how to use my breast pump because the one that the insurance company gave was a whole issue. Thank God my cousin had one. And she showed me how to use it, but resources is key. Early intervention, like you said, is key. And that can make all the difference in the world.
Yeah, absolutely. And then definitely, I'm a big like promoter of the community. So family support, even my dad, who was like, oh, this is my grandbaby. Make sure, you know. Like just getting that support, you had your cousin who was able to help you. I felt like I was off thumbs trying to learn how to use a pump. So I had to have someone help me, and I'd be like, show me the controls again. So it's just,
yes, it does. Even as health professionals, for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. So just, you know, getting the right kind of help, like you said, and you know, there is a movement trying to get more people in place, like in the hospital setting, more lactation consultants in the community with different backgrounds to try to help address so many things. So I feel like we're definitely a lot better than we were 10 or 15 years ago, but we still have a long way to go. So these kind of conversations are so important. And I appreciate you ladies for this forum and this platform. This is so important because, you know, we're all professionals. We wear our professional hat. We're moms. And we're trying to promote something very positive. So yeah. I appreciate you ladies.
Oh, thank you.
Yes.
You.
Yeah.
Yes. So there are moms who have babies with cleft lips and cleft palates, and of course they still want to breastfeed. So how can you reassure moms that they can still breastfeed and promote breastfeeding for their babies?
Absolutely. So I have a little bit of experience with moms who I had one mom whose baby had a cleft lip. And by the time I saw her, her baby was a couple of months old and nursing at the breast. It was the most wonderful thing I saw. And she had been working with occupational and speech therapy. And she had like a little device that would help her form a seal at the breast. And she would put that little device on mm-hmm. and baby would just drink to her little heart's desire. And it was a very successful breastfeeding situation. And then for babies with cleft palate, you know, it is way more difficult for them to form a seal and latch at the breast. But we've had these moms, they're pumping their milk. And one of the things I reassure them is I tell them, you're not alone. There are moms and babies who've done this before you, who are getting support. And sometimes just knowing other people are out there going through what you went through is very powerful. So I say, you know, other moms have been through this. When they know that I've talked to moms and work with families, like with babies with cleft, that is very reassuring too. We have a conversation about their goals. We talk about, you know, what we need, who we need to bring as part of the team, in addition to the doctors, any therapy referrals we need to do. But I say, hey, we're going to dig in. I'm going to hold your hand. Mm-hmm. I'm here with you. And I cheer that baby on, you know, because these babies, all they know how to do is try. They're just here. But yeah. They're like, I'm hungry. Is this where the food is? Let me get that. So we cheer that baby on. And I let them know that it's a collaborative effort. And we're all working together to help her and her little one and to try to meet her goals.
Amen to that.
Yeah.
So, you know, when it comes to the mom, you know, not everyone is made equal. So for ones who might have, you know, an inverted nipple or a flat nipple, who might, you know, get frustrated, what advice do you give them, and what techniques maybe, you know, such as like the nipple shield, what can they do to better promote breastfeeding?
So the good news is usually, in my practice and in my spirit, I would say like 30%, maybe more, actually have flat nipples, but only a small percentage of those moms with flat nipples actually struggle. And whatever the struggle is, it's usually related to what's going on with the baby, not really the shape of her breasts. So I kind of approach, and this is really a hindsight of 2020, working for so long with so many moms and so many breast shapes and things like that, so many babies and mouth shapes. I approach it as, let me see what's going on. And usually the problem is something with it's not usually the mom. It's not always breast shape that is the problem. And I know that because we have so many moms with flat nipples, different shaped nipples, and these babies just jump on there. So we try to figure out what is going on, what the real problem is. Lactation consultants are really detectives. So it's a lot of detective work. So it's, you know, some of them do need nipple shields, but it's usually not a nipple shield for the mom's breast shape. It's usually because the baby, like I've used a nipple shield with my own preemie. And that's just to get that baby on the breast. That's the purpose of it, to say, okay, here we're going to eat here versus on the bottle. Just get them used to being on the breast. So nipple shields have their place. And then you really want to wean them off the nipple shield within a month or two at the most. And that comes with practicing without the nipple shield. And they will get it. We've had a lot of success when I was working with WIC and private practice with getting these babies off the nipple shield. But it does take time and some effort and a lot of monitoring with a IBCLC or a lactation counselor who has been working with these babies. But it's usually not the shape of, it's usually like the flat nipple is not the culprit. It's usually something going on with that baby. And most of this stuff is really treatable.
That's good.
Yeah. And it's really good news. It's good news because moms say, oh, the shape of my breast, the size of my breast, it's too big, it's too small. And knowing that it's not them can give moms a lot of relief.
Yeah.
So nothing surprises me anymore. We've seen it all. So.
Yeah, that's good to hear because a lot of times mom internalize that, right? A lot of times they're internalizing it. The moment that their baby is not latching on, not feeding, they're like, it's me, I'm not doing well. It's because I have this type of nipple or this kind of, or whatever is going on. And it's like my fault now that I'm not nourishing my child. So I'm happy to hear that there's reassurement there, you know, for moms out there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Tell us the services you provide.
So, like you said in the beginning, I am a registered dietitian and a lactation consultant. So I have my private practice, and I do both. I see a range of, for nutrition, I see a range of nutrition needs. I do have pediatric background, so I do home visits. I do virtual. I do work with, kids who have some picky eating issues. I've even gone to family's home and just kind of observed the mealtime. I work with chronic disease prevention. That's the bulk of my work. People with diabetes, they need to just kind of reduce some comorbidities, get off their medicine, reduce their blood pressure. So we work with the diet aspect of that and exercise. And then, of course, I have my lactation services where I do in person, I do home visits, and I do virtual. So I serve a lot of needs in lactation and nutrition. And sometimes there's overlap, especially with like my toddlers and stuff like that. Those are the services I provide.
That is so amazing. And I think it's important for women to know that like their lactation consultants, you can see, you know, even after you discharge from the hospital. And I think sometimes, you know, you get that feeling like, once that's your window and that's it, and you just have your baby visits and nothing else. And like those resources are still available. And we thank you for the many hats you wear.
Thank you. Community.
Yes. Where can the people find you?
Right now they have to reach me directly. I do have social media. I primarily, it really is like word of mouth because my practice is small, for now. But it's word of mouth. They can reach me through Instagram on my Instagram page, Breastfeeding For Real. And I'm pretty, you know, I'm pretty direct. My website is being built right now. They can email me at djgaskinlactation@hotmail.com. That's another way to reach me. And we just kind of go from there. I'm very personable. I don't have any walls between me and the people who I'm working with. So, and that's how I prefer it.
I love it. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
Yes.
So everyone, let us know our thoughts. Make sure y'all remember these tips. Okay. Comment, subscribe. Until next time, everyone.
All right.
Take care.
Thank you.